Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the LifePoint Christian Church podcast. Let's get started.
When your paycheck hits your bank account, what's the first thing you do with it? Not what you hope to do with it, not what you would, you know, want to do with it, but what do you actually do with it? What's the first thing that happens? For some of us, the first thing that happens, the first place we send it is to our savings or our investments. Because for security, or for us, security is totally non-negotiable. For others of us, the first place that goes is paying off debt, right? Because for us, man, the weight is so crushing and we just want to get out from under it. For others, like we might auto-transfer it to the fun stuff, right? For the kids' activities, for vacations, for hobbies, for date nights, because if we don't have those, man, we will not be able to stay sane. And then, of course, for a lot of us, it goes to the bills, right? They scream the loudest. The mortgage, the utilities, the car, the phone, because we know that the consequences come fast if we ignore those. Here's what I know. Here's what we know. Whatever we do with the first, it isn't random. It reveals some things. It reveals, for example, our priorities. It reveals what we trust most. Sometimes it reveals what we fear losing. But regardless, it lets us know what we value the most. Now, some choose to live the rhythm of giving to God as their first move. And they've seen God show up, and we've seen God show up in powerful ways. And some used to give to God first, but life kind of caught up to them. They got busy, life got hard, finances got tight, and it slipped. And then for some here, the idea of first going to God has never been a consistent habit, or maybe you've never tried it. Wherever you're at today along that pendulum, wherever you're at today, the message is for you. The Bible refers to giving to God, the first part going to God, it refers to it as the tithe. And it's how we train or keep training our hearts to declare, God, you're the source. God, you're the one who I trust in. You're my true security. God, you're my first. My heart is yours and I trust in you. Now, here's what I know. I've been doing this type of message for a long time. And what I know is that this type of topic, the topic of money, finances, giving, what I know is that it stirs a lot of different emotions in a lot of different people. For example, some of you have been praying for people and inviting them, and today's the first day they finally came to church, and you're like, crap. I just said that out loud. Is that okay? I just realized. And so you're here like, listen, God will work it out for you. Trust me, God always works it out. And he has you here today on purpose for a reason beyond what you even imagine. So we're glad you're here. But I know it stirs emotion. So I want us to be clear, and I want to be clear. God doesn't want something from you. God wants something for you. God has something for you today. See, with God, the issue has never been about money. The issue for God has always been about worship. The real issue for God has always been about trust. The real issue for God has always been about who or what is on the throne of our hearts. Everybody say hearts. Everybody say hearts. This today is not a money message. Today is a heart message. Everybody say hearts. It's a heart message. Money, all it is the most honest mirror that we have, that we own. It's the most honest mirror that shows us where our security and where our trust and our deepest faith truly reside. It's just the mirror that shows us where our hearts are. We're in week two of our series, Legacy of the Open Hand. And really the big idea for this whole series is that God is actually the source of every good gift in our life. And he blesses us so that we can enjoy God and we can enjoy what God gives us, but also so that we can open our hands and we could be a source of blessing to others. And so God wants us to acknowledge he's the source, that everything we have comes from his goodness. And so he wants our hearts. He wants our whole life, just as Jesus poured out his whole life for us. When Jesus went to the cross, man, he didn't give some of his blood. He poured out his whole life. You need to know God isn't after an amount or a percentage. God's after your heart, your whole heart. Tithing, giving, it's just a starter kit to help us surrender our whole heart. Everybody say heart. To surrender our whole heart to God. It's how we train our hearts. So it's whether we're starting, whether we're getting back to it, or whether we're building on years of faithfulness. Tithing is how I train my heart to trust God first, not last, not if there's some leftovers, not if I have margin, but to trust God first. Now, I want to see this in action in Scripture. And if you have a physical Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 14. If you don't have a physical Bible, go on the YouVersion Bible app. Track along with us there. Last week, we watched Abraham, and Abraham did something that makes zero sense in the world system he lived in, or even in our world system today. Abraham and his nephew were in a predicament, and one of them needed to go first and to choose first. And so Abraham let his nephew Lot choose first, to choose which land he wanted to own or possess or be in charge of. And in a time when land literally meant survival, land meant security, what did Abraham do? He opened his hands to bless somebody else. And as we said last week, Abraham wasn't a taker. Abraham was a giver. And so Lot, what did he do? Lot really was a taker. And so Lot chose all the land in the Jordan River Valley. It was prime real estate. And because Abraham demonstrated, actually by this time over and over, that Abraham was a giver and not a taker, God stepped in and God blessed Abraham with far more land in the rest of Canaan. What happened next? That's where we start to pick up the story. There's this coalition of four powerful kings, and they invaded. They crushed all the rulers in the Jordan River Valley, and they attacked the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah, and these were brutal battles. And these invading kings, they looted everything. They took captives, including Abraham's nephew, Lot, along with his family, and they took all of them, every single person. And they took them, and they took them away. And so now they find themselves in a situation where Abraham has to step in. Abraham hears the news. He rallies 318 of his trained household men. They're kind of like his, you know, his security force, so to speak. They go and launch a daring rescue. And they pursue these kings all the way north past Damascus. They win this stunning victory. And he recovers Lot, and he recovers all the people, and he recovers all of the stolen goods, and was able to capture so much more because they had victory. And on his way home, Abraham meets this mysterious figure named Melchizedek. And we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 14, verse 18, and it says this. And it says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem or Salem, brought out bread and wine. And Melchizedek was priest of God Most High. Melchizedek is one of the most intriguing figures in all the Bible. He's the king of righteousness. That's what the name Melchizedek means. He's the king of peace. That's what Salem or Salem means. It means peace. He's a priest of the true God long before the Levitical priesthood had even been set up. In fact, Hebrews 7 says that Melchizedek existed. He existed. He was without beginning or end, pointing forward really as a type or a foreshadowing of Jesus, so much so that many scholars believe that Melchizedek is actually Jesus himself. And so here you have Abraham and Melchizedek, or Jesus arrives on the scene. And in verse 19, Genesis 14, it says, so Jesus or Melchizedek blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And praise be to God Most High who delivered your enemies into your hand. And then the scriptures say this. It says, and then Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Everybody say everything. Abraham gave him a tenth. He was blessed, and he gave Melchizedek, or Jesus, a tenth of everything. Some translations will say he gave him a tithe of everything. Why? Because the word tithe or tenth mean the same thing. A tithe is literally a tenth. And this is the first place in Scripture where we see the tithe mentioned or recorded. Now, I want you to notice here in this passage, Abraham doesn't tithe because he was guilted into it. Abraham doesn't tithe because he was pressured by Melchizedek. Abraham didn't tithe because a pastor or a priest said, we're going to pass the bucket now. Oh, you didn't put enough in, so we're going to pass it again. No. He didn't tithe because the law of Moses commanded him to do so. The law of Moses doesn't even exist yet. Why did he tithe? He tithed as an act of worship. He tithed as an attitude of gratitude. He tithed because he recognized God was the true source of his success, of his victory. God had delivered the enemy into his hands. And so Abraham modeled our starting point, and that is this. Tithing is giving to God our first tenth of what we receive. Giving to God the first tenth of everything. Not a little something. Not whatever feels comfortable. Not if it fits into my budget. A tenth. And what's interesting is Scripture repeatedly ties the tithe, the tenth, to the word first. To the word first. To the first portion. To the first fruits, to the first priority. One example is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, and it says it plainly. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits. Everybody say first. With the first fruits of all your crops, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing. First fruits, first, first, first. Not last, not leftover, not if there's margin, but first. The tithe, again, it's not about an amount. It's not about even just a percentage. It's not even about money or stuff. It's more than that, because this isn't a money talk. This is a heart talk. What is the tithe? It's our bold confession. It's us boldly declaring, God, before anyone or anything else gets a piece, God, I acknowledge, like Abraham, that you're the source of everything that I have. And God, I am fully surrendered to you. Your bold confession, this is like your baseline belief in action, being played out in real time. Leviticus chapter 27 says it this way in verse 30. It says, one-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belong to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. I don't know if you noticed the word there. It was the word belong. Everybody say belong. Say belong. One-tenth belongs to the Lord. In other words, the tithe, it's not a gift like that we're giving because, you know, God, we're doing God a favor. It's not what it is. It's something we're returning because it was his all along. The tithe is about returning because it all belongs to him in the first place. So we're simply giving it back to him. Imagine your employer deposits your bank check into your account. And some of you, that's how you have that set up. It's maybe auto-deposited. And you go in and you see it and you feel it. And it feels like it's yours. But what did you notice about that paycheck? Before you ever touch any of it, what you know you got paid and what you see is different, isn't it? What happened? What happened to that first portion? It was designated for what? What, anybody know? Taxes. And you don't say, how dare they take it? Actually, you do say that. And you're sick of it, and you're sick of how much they take. Amen. And I want you to think about this. It's designated. It's already done. You don't have any say in it. You've never called it generosity when it's been taken out. You've never called it that. You've never framed it as you giving a gift to the government. You've never done that. Why? Because you just understand something, that there's a portion that was given to you that was really never really yours to begin with. It was designated. It was due. Or think about it this way. When Heather and I, we've had three kids, and Heather had three kids, and I just watched. And so we have our three kids, and they turned 16, and they knew from when they were like 4 years old, you will get your license when you're 16. I'm thrilled to hear, by the way, that a bunch of 15 and a half year olds are now are getting their permit, and a bunch of 16 year olds, awesome, because that's one of my rants I go on from time to time, that you as a parent, you need to have your kids getting their license at 16, teach them responsibility, don't wait till they're 18 and all that kind of stuff. Sorry, it's a rant. The Bible doesn't say that. That's a Chris side note, my apologies. If you're like, I disagree, and you want to, you know, come back at me, no problem. Send me an email at d.goody@lifepoint.org, and I'm happy to respond. So I'm really actually stoked to hear. I just heard this like Friday night or something. A bunch of you are getting that. That's awesome. That's a good thing. But imagine we give our kids turn 16, they get their license, and we give them a car. And we give them that car, and we say, this car is yours to use, but we still own it. It's ours. And you get to drive it. And you need to manage it well. And you need to be responsible with that. Imagine if they come back to us at one point and say, you know, I've been driving this a while. It's mine now. If your kid said that to you, what happens next? Right? Oh, really? Okay, let's see how that goes. Give me the keys. Oh, really? Right, what are we saying to them? If they say, no, it's mine now, I deserve this, I own this. No, it was never yours. You are simply a steward, or you have the responsibility to take care of it, but it's still ours. That's what Scripture means when it says that the tithe belongs to the Lord. He's not taking something from you. He's reminding you of something. The tithe is returning what is designated from the beginning. And if we struggle with that, we say, no, it's mine. Listen, it's not really a math problem. It's not even a money problem. What is that? That's a heart problem. Because the question underneath all of this is, how do I see myself? How do I see myself? Do I see myself as a steward, or another way to say it, do I see myself as a manager or an owner? Am I a manager of what's been entrusted to me, or am I an owner and I think it's mine? How do you see it? Scripture is clear. We are called by God to be managers, not owners. Malachi will go on, the prophet, and ask a brutally gut-punching question, really coming from God. And it says this in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. It says, will a mere mortal rob God? And then God says, yet you're robbing me. And then the people ask, well, God, how are we robbing you? And God says, in your tithes and offerings. That's a strong word. For God to look at his people and say, you people of mine are robbing me. Why would he use such a word? Because what has Scripture told us? The tithe already belongs to God. Keeping it isn't not giving. It's holding on to what isn't ours. So God invites all of us to honor God with the first, the first tenth. It belongs to him anyway. Next, the tithe blesses. And it blesses in two distinct ways. First of all, it blesses God's house, but it also blesses the giver. In other words, the tithe has direction. It belongs to God, and it belongs to God in a specific way, in a specific place. Scripture referred to it as the storehouse. Continuing in Malachi chapter 3, it said, God said, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And in the Old Testament, the storehouse, what was that? What is it referring to? It's referring to the whole temple system. Today, people would say, well, what's the temple system? What's the version of that today? That's the local church, that the local church is the primary storehouse for ministry. And so when you give, when I give, when we give, it blesses God's work. It fuels ministry. In 2 Chronicles chapter 31, it shows the people, and they were bringing their first portions to the priest. Why? So the priest could focus on what God had called them to do, so they didn't have to be distracted from ministry to God and to the people. Here's the reality. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but just practically speaking, imagine for the last 2,000 years, if the church didn't give, and the church is we the people. If the people didn't give, if the people didn't tithe, if nobody tithed, well, first of all, ministry would look radically different, right? Where would the staff be to shepherd the flock? Where would the kids' ministry be and the student ministry be to be able to actually disciple the next generation? Where would all the buildings be so that we could gather and worship together and we could be equipped as saints before, as the song we sang, a most holy God? And so, God's plan, it isn't to drop down checks from heaven. I've stood there on many occasions waiting for it to happen. It's not God's plan. His plan is to grow generous disciples who open their hands so that God's work can keep moving forward. People, that's who God uses. And he uses us to fund the vision, pointing people to Jesus, making disciples. The tithe blesses God's work by fueling ministry. But secondly, it blesses the giver because it secures the blessing on the remaining 90% that we get to keep. Now, to be clear, because I say that could sound a little bizarre a little bit. What am I saying? And I'm not saying it's give to get rich. That's not how it works. God is not some cosmic slot machine. It isn't give 100 and God spits out 1,000 to us. But Scripture makes it clear. God promises to bless us when we give to him first. Again, going in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, God says this. He says, I want you to test me in this, this whole giving the first fruits to me, giving the tithe. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Test me in this, God says. Wait a second, Pastor. I've read the Bible before, and over and over and over, I read Scripture says, do not test God, right? Some of you know that. You've read the Bible, and you're like, man, we're not to test God. We're not allowed to test God. You're right. In any other area, in any other way, we are not to test God. But the one way, the one area that God says you can test me in is when it comes to giving or returning the tithe back to me. God says, you can test me on this, and I'm going to pour out blessings in your life. Why would God allow us to test him in this, to test this promise that he made? Because God just knows. He knows how much our hearts struggle to release money, to release resources, and to truly trust God. But when we do, when we trust God with the first, God just says, I'm going to promise you to pour out blessings. In fact, God says, test me on it. Go for it. Now, blessings from God come in so many different ways, don't they? Would you say you've been blessed by God? Hopefully you can. And it comes in so many different ways. Some of you, it's the peace of God. He has blessed you with peace that surpasses all understanding. Some of you, God blesses you with clarity, and you're able to think clearly and make good decisions and make good big decisions. Some of you are blessed when you give and when God blesses you. Some of that comes in contentment for you. And you go against the grain of the world. The world, when the question is asked, when the world is asked, how much is enough? The world always says, more, more. But you have found yourself saying, I'm good. I have enough. Sometimes the way God blesses us is with wisdom. And he gives you the wisdom to, you know, for example, not make a dumb financial choice that would have cost you way more than the tithe itself, right? And then There's all the ways that God blesses you that you don't actually know. It's all the ways that God just took care of you, that God stepped in, and you don't get to even know on this side of heaven. But on the other side of heaven, you see, oh, this is where God stepped in. This is where God made the car last longer. This is where that didn't break. This is where the angels showed up and did this. All these ways in which God will bless you that you don't even know. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says it this way: God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all time, having all you need, you will then be able to abound in every good work. That's the win. That's the win. God blesses you so that your hands can be open so that you can bless others. Third, offerings are different than the tithe. Offerings are over and above the tithe. What's the tithe? We're saying, we're calling it today the starter kit. It's kind of like that baseline of putting God first. And then there's something else in Scripture called offerings, and that's like next level generosity. In Exodus chapter 35 and 36, Moses called for offerings from the people above and beyond their tithe. He called for that to build the tabernacle, which was the portable temple that God would dwell in. The response was overwhelming by the people. The leaders counted up all that had been given. And then they said to Moses in Exodus chapter 36, verse 5, they said this: the people are bringing more than enough. Everybody say more. They're bringing more than enough for doing the work of the Lord that the Lord commanded to be done. More than enough. More than enough. And so the Bible says that Moses actually had to go to the people and tell them, no more giving. Stop giving. Listen, I've been a pastor for over 30 years. I know a lot of pastors, and I don't know a single pastor who's ever had that experience where they've gone to the church and said, you've given enough. Now I got to tell you, wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be amazing if I was able to stand up here? Rick said, you know, our director of finance says, Pastor, we're doing so amazing. Just tell the people no more. So that's what I'm praying for. Can you imagine? More than enough. We see it again with King David. He wanted to build God a permanent temple and not just have the portable tabernacle. And so he went before God, and God said, no, you can't build it. You have too much blood on your hand. There's been too much war with you. But I'll tell you what, your son Solomon can build it. What did David do? Did he pout? Did he walk away and say, forget you, God? I'm not getting involved with you. I'm not giving first fruits anymore. I'm not giving you offerings. No, no, no. That's not what David did. What did David do? David thought in terms of legacy. David opened his hands and said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give, and I'm going to prepare and get everything ready for the next generation so that they can build, my son Solomon can build the temple. That's like David's not going to see any results. David's not going to be able to be a part of it. But that was the legacy of the open hand. And so David, 1 Chronicles chapter 29 says that David gave generously from his personal treasures. And then he challenged the leaders and the people to do the same. And what were the response? The people gave willingly, joyfully, above and beyond their tithe. And then there was more than enough to build the temple, the most expensive building that's ever been built by far in the history of mankind. And so the tithe is first, the first tenth. Offerings are extra, above and beyond. But here's what both of them are. Both of them are an expression of our heart. Both of them are expressions of worship to God. Do you worship God with your tithes and your offerings? Now, I want to address something that I hear all the time. And it's something that maybe you've thought yourself. And in a message like this, and God's stirring your heart, I'll have people come up to me and say, Pastor, thank you for sharing. I feel like I'm ready to finally step into this lane. And I'm ready to hear, I'm ready to listen, I'm ready to respond, I'm ready to be obedient. But Pastor, I just can't do it. I can't tithe right now. I can't do it. But once I make more money, once I pay off these bills and this debt, then I'll tithe. And when people come up to me and they say that to me, they say, once I make more money, then I'll tithe. Here's what I look at them with all kindness and I say three words. No, you won't. And I know that doesn't sound very pastoral and kind and empathetic, but it's the most pastoral thing I can actually tell them. Oh, I'll give once I make more money. No, you won't. Why? Because more money doesn't automatically create more margin in your life. More money just creates more lifestyle. That's all it does. More subscriptions, more upgrades, more we deserve this, more lifestyle creep. The issue has never been the size of your income. It's always been the posture of your heart. The tithe, the gift, the offering. It's not about how much you make. It's about the direction of your heart. In the early days of LifePoint, I did a series on giving, as I try to do each year, and I did a series on honoring God, give God your first fruits, your first tenth. A gentleman who had been a Christian for about 20 years, who had never given regularly, never had given systematically, and that was finally the series where they finally opened their heart to God and said, I'm going to step into this lane. And so they started giving their first fruits every single week. That's something that, by the way, we pray, and there's many of us, we pray like, God, let this be the year that those who've never stepped into this, they'll step into this and experience the joy and the freedom. A year later, I did another series on stewardship. And the person came up to me and they said, hey, Chris, I just want you to know, I started this a year ago based on God speaking to me last year. And so I have been faithful, giving every single week. Well, the last couple months, God has blessed me like crazy. He said, God has blessed me with so much money. It's more money than I could have ever possibly imagined. And then he said something to me, and he said something to me that I'll never forget. I can still remember there at Elliott Ranch Elementary School. I can remember the spot we were standing in. And he said this. He said, Chris, a year ago, it was easier for me to write the $300 weekly check back then than it is to write the check that I just wrote today, a $10,000 check. But here's what struck me when he said that. He said, there's no way I could have wrote a $10,000 check today if I hadn't started writing the $300 checks back then. I've always remembered that. The only way to give or tithe when you make more is to do it when you make less. It's the only way. It's all about the trust muscle that grows in the little things so that you can be faithful with much. Some of you, you're in the little season right now. Great, praise God. Be faithful in the little. Some of you are in the much season right now. Great, praise God. Be faithful in much. And some of you are in a season where it's like, okay, I even want to take it another step with my offerings above and beyond that, and I want to do it with a grateful heart. Wherever you are in your giving generosity journey, God invites you to go deeper into the legacy of the open hand. And Deuteronomy reminds all of us, chapter 8, verse 18, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability. He gives you the ability to produce wealth. It's God. It's not who gives you the brain, who gives you the opportunities, who gives you the connections, who gives you the health. It's God, not us. Now, I imagine some of us, we hear the message today and God's been stirring us and we're like, man, Pastor, I hear you. This is a little scary for me to try to step into this world, in this lane. And I get it, I do. But I would just tell you, faith in general is a little bit scary. Because if it's not stretching you, that's not faith. That's sight. And we all have faith in following God. So I want to give you a doable step. I want to invite every single person here, and for some of you, it might be for the very first time, that you would be, you'd be willing to try tithing for 90 days. Not forever. Just try it for 90 days. And then track what God does. Track what he does in your finances, but also track what God does in your heart. Track what God does with your peace and your joy and your contentment. Track the blessings of God in your life. Tithe and track. Tithe and track it. Because again, God is an after your money. He's after your heart. This isn't a money message. This is a heart message. And money, it's just the fastest way God gets to get our heart and train our hearts and retrain our hearts. Now, here's the deal. You say, okay, I'll step into it. I'll try it for 90 days. If you try this for 90 days, and if you don't think God honored his word, he said you could test him in this. If you don't think that God has proven himself faithful, and if you don't think after 90 days God hasn't poured out blessings in your life, after those 90 days, come up to me. We, LifePoint, will give your money back. It's a better return policy than Costco. Listen, you have nothing to lose, and you have everything to gain. Everything to gain. You might be skeptical, and you're saying, you know what, Pastor? I've seen stuff. I've seen churches go weird and get weird. I've seen the manipulation. I've seen it all. And so you're here, and you're pretty guarded. And I do understand that, and I get that. But I just would encourage you with this. Don't reject God's word because of people. Don't reject what God's word says because people messed it up. That's like refusing to eat again because you had a bad meal. The solution isn't don't ever eat again. The answer is, well, maybe eat what's right or what's healthy. And we're talking scripture today. We're talking about what's healthy. We're talking about God shaping disciples. And I know some of you, you would come to me and say, Pastor, you brought up the word tithe and tenth, and hey, I know the Bible, and tithing is Old Testament, and now we're under grace, and I want you to know that's true. Totally is true. But I would remind you, Abraham did what he did long before the law existed. And number two, the Old Testament still teaches us don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't idolize. Those still apply. And I praise God, you and I as believers in Jesus Christ, we're not under the law of the Old Testament. We're under grace. Praise God for that. But the principle of the tithe, the principle still applies. Honor God as the giver of all good gifts to you and return the first portion to him to demonstrate that he has 100% of your heart. The reality is grace doesn't lower the bar for you and I. It raises the bar for us. God doesn't want to just be Lord of 10% of your life. The Israelites could have lived that way. God wants to be the Lord of 100% of your life. He wants 100% of your heart. So let's end right where we started. When your paycheck hits your bank account, what's the first thing you do with it? Whatever's first, it's revealing. It's revealing what's first in your heart. God invites you into this legacy, this rhythm of hands wide open. And so tithing, giving, is like the starter kit that trains our hearts to help us trust God first. One last thought. Some of you will say, man, I just don't have that much faith right now. Tenth, that just sounds crazy to me. And what I always say is, as your faith leads you, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I don't know what it is for you. The first. Whether it's 2%, 4%, 6%, 8%, get started. And trust God with the first fruits. Let's build a legacy together of the open hand for our kids, for our church, for our city, for ourselves. God's the source. And we can now be a blessing to others and to God's ministry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, thank you for your word. God, thank you that you show us what it looks like for us to be able to show you, God, you have our heart. You get our heart 100%. So God, I just pray, God, that right now, more and more people would step into the generosity, the legacy of the open hand that you've called us to. So hear our prayers, Lord. And I want to invite you right now, in your own way, in your own words, what's God calling you to today? What is your generosity look like for you? What is the returning to God? What does that look like for you? You tell him, whatever that is, ask God to give you the faith to stretch you, the strength, the courage. Do that now. God, you're hearing hearts of faith. Step deeper into a relationship with you. God, honor their commitments. You tell us we can test you. So God, some of us, that's what we're going to do. And I ask God that you again and again and again, as you've done, prove yourself faithful and pour out blessings upon each and every one of us. I ask for this and pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can learn more about us by visiting us online at lifepoint.org. If you are ever in the Sacramento area, we would love to see you in person. Events and service times can be found on our website. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us for our next episode.